So I broke it down a little bit. Know the scene, speak truth to the scene, make disciples in the scene. I want to give a couple of examples now of how we've seen this happening in different places. A lot of our teams around the world will engage in these three principles with actions. So first of all, we talk a lot about present relational presence in the scene, going out and being where people are. So we'll choose certain spots and places in the city where people meet. It might be a square in the center of your city where young people go and hang out, or it's a cafe or a pub that's popular. It might be in the university campus, finding ways to engage as students. And also a lot of what we do is very much peer to peer. Most of our teams are young adults or young people. And we find that challenging and encouraging the young people in our churches to go out is the most important thing. Peer-to-peer evangelism, sharing the truth with this generation. That's, I think, a really crucial thing. So they'll go out into these places, connect, get to know people, ask questions. They pray for their city. God, how can you use us to reach our city? And then they start with evangelistic actions and events. And that might start with some simple street evangelism. It can develop into cultural events or sports, finding different places to connect. And then they'll look for a next step. If people are interested in the message, what can we follow that up with? And we believe discipleship starts the moment we meet somebody new and they want to know more about Jesus. And so often our teams will invite them into their lives to have a coffee or a meeting somewhere. And we also run Bible studies for the non-religious, we call them. And I mean, we give them other names as well, like a Bible study for the skeptics or something like that. And but we use that name because, as I said, often we'll share our faith and somebody will say, oh, it's great for you, but I'm not religious. And then we say, oh, well, we have a Bible study for people like you. It's a Bible study for the non-religious. And we'll run this in cafes or in homes or in parks. And it's so cool seeing people come and read the Bible for the first time or connect with the Bible message for the first time. And we have what we call community houses, which is a place where some of our team members might live and they use it as a place for meetings and parties and gatherings. And they also might invite some of their new people who have just come to faith or are just on the way to find out who Jesus is to come and live as well there. And you get discipleship happening 24/7. But we just try to create spaces where discipleship can happen. And I want to give an example of that with a team in a place that's gone through a lot this last year. We have teams all over Ukraine, but one of our main teams is in Kyiv. And I'll tell you the story of how they developed the work there as an example. Well, they started up with gathering a lot of young people and young adults from around the city, from different churches, just saying, let's get together and let's pray for our city. Let's seek God together and let's learn how can we reach secular culture? How can we engage with people who are not walking into the church? And so they started with these gatherings and meetings and praying for their city. Soon they started going out and doing some evangelistic actions together. For a time, they had 70 people from, I think, 10 or 11 different churches in Kyiv going out together. And they would do creative street evangelism. They'd do protests. They'd do flash mobs. They'd do different ways of just engaging with people. And what they were doing was just trying to find ways of starting conversations, of bringing the topic and conversation of faith into the public sphere. And they started seeing so many young people coming, interested, connecting. Because when you teach young people and young adults to be passionate in their faith and to go out and to share their faith, then, as I said, peer-to-peer, young people are drawn by other young people and they want to hear more. And when you get people being evangelistic like that, you never know where God will lead it. We had some of our young leaders just out there preaching publicly, doing public proclamation like that. And it just kept growing. And they formed a team of some of the most committed ones. And they started doing regular things, not just the street evangelism, but they started going to places where young people were meeting and hanging out. That was skate parks. They were going into the electronic music scene. They started going every week together. Oh. as you can see, that's where everybody was hanging out in Kiev. So that's where they were. And they were there meeting people, building relationships. And then they started a Bible study for the non-religious. And this is how they advertised it. They put it around the clubs. And you might look at this and think, wow, it's another weird and wild concert or event in the club. But actually, that's an invitation to a Bible study for the non-religious, which happened in the park nearby. And so they started having a lot of people come who had really never walked into a church or never really engaged with scripture, with the Bible. And they're reading together here. And it's amazing to read the Bible with people who haven't really read it before, because you get fresh perspective, fresh insights as they start trying to understand and engage with it. And the way we do this is we won't follow a very structured program. We'll read a part of the Bible and we'll open for conversation. We'll say, what do you think about this? And people love sharing their opinions today. So they'll read and then they'll talk about everything. And it can sometimes go way off topic and into wild conversations. And then we bring it back and we say, well, let's just read this again. And, you know, what do you see in this text? What do you see it saying? How does it relate to you? And we'll walk people through discovering what the Bible is saying through questions and answers in a very informal conversation. And it's amazing how curious and hungry many of them are. Well, God blessed this team in Kiev with finding an amazing house in near the center of the city. And they rented it out and moved in with some of the team. Some of the new believers as well moved in. And their house became the point of meeting for young people in Kiev. And some of the influencers started calling it the best kept secret in the cultural scene of Kiev. And so this is some images from their house. Okay. The house became a point of meeting where so many young people were coming. You saw some parties going on there. They would invite the DJs from the electronic music clubs where they had been going to come and play in their house. And so it drew even more of that non-Christian crowd. But throughout those meetings and events, they were sharing their faith one-on-one, preaching publicly to groups from the stage, leading Bible studies, worship times, all there. What they're doing is they're making prayer and the Bible normal and accessible in an environment that is welcoming to those young people. They're bringing the message of the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus, into that environment. And what happens is people feel like they can be understood. They can find a place that is for them where they can belong. And yet they're hearing words of truth, and the power of God is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work, and people are coming to Jesus. So the last images that you saw were people being baptized in the river in Kiev. And that started becoming a regular thing, sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, baptisms happening and people getting connected into the local church. Now, how do they get connected into the local church? Through relationships, because the team that is there as a missionary team for that city are all part of different churches in the city. So come Sunday, they're all off going to different church meetings and meeting the bigger body of Christ and inviting those guys and girls to come with them. And because the relationship is there, those people are discovering a home, a family of faith in the churches and getting baptized and joining churches. So the combination of going into the scene of the city, connecting, understanding, building relationships and partnerships, and then sharing the truth in a bold and relevant way, clearly leading to conversion, leading to people coming to Jesus, and then that discipleship that already happens there in that organic and normal way. Then, of course, the war started. Now, when bombs started going off in Kyiv, a lot of those young people went and knocked on the door of the house and said, hey, this is where we feel the safest. Can we come in? Can we stay here? And the house became full. And so they started having more and more people staying with them and even living there during that season and that period. And the ministry continued. And they continue till today. I mean, I receive videos every now and again of those same baptisms happening with sirens going off in the background because of the missile attacks. So it's incredible to see the boldness of young people who are so hungry to share their faith and to reach their peers and to reach a lost generation that it doesn't stop for them, even under such a terrible situation of war. I mean, some of the guys from the house, when the war first started, they made that decision to stay. They said, we're going to stay here and be here for these guys. And they've continued to, it's the opportunities are even bigger now to share the gospel and to reach them in that way. And what we're praying for is that we would see this kind of move of action happen in cities all around the world, all around Europe, that we would have bold missionary teams of people from different churches coming together to reach a generation that isn't walking into the churches, but is going into the places where they are and preaching the gospel clearly and making disciples.